I'm sure everybody knows what today is. Today is the day before Memorial Day, right? I'd like to take just a moment before we begin our worship. Our path, your path, and multiple paths are made possible because of lives that have given to us. Not only through the service in our country, but in Christendom, we are so thankful for the men and women who have paved the path so that we could have the freedom to worship Christ as we do. I want to just take a moment before we begin worship. I don't want to spend the entire service about Memorial Day because we have other things to talk about. But I want to take a moment to remember those who have made it possible so that we can worship. Bethany is 124 years strong. There's a lot of lives that have come and gone to make it possible for us to worship. Christ, over 2,000 years ago, paved the path for you and I, that we might have freedom. Freedom from the oppression of the world, freedom from sin. However you want to deal with it, Christ is the one who paved the path. We want to take a moment to pause and give thanks for those who are actively serving, those who have given their lives, those who are working so that we can still enjoy the freedoms we have. So if you would, pause from what you're doing. Pause for a moment, and then I'll open with prayer, and then I'll let Connor begin. So if we may. It is with honor, gratitude, and thanksgiving that we're allowed to be in your house, God. If it were not for you, there would be no opportunities to know a life richer and deeper than what it is. We pray right now for those men and women, those lives that have been given so that we may enjoy not only the freedoms we have, but the religious freedoms that we have. Father, we pray that it will always be an opportunity for us to be reminded of your grace. Memorial Day is a chance to pause and to remember. So lest we never forget, remind us. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. As you want, stand, sit, however you're comfortable to worship the Lord.
Sing our praise. Our praise in the valley and praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, and praise when surrounded. Praise is the waters, my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise. I'll praise when I feel it, and praise when I don't. I'll praise cause I know you're still in control. Cause praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, Priest, cause you rose and defeated the grave. Priest, cause you're faithful. Praise, cause you're true. Praise, cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise, cause you're sovereign. Praise, cause you reign. Praise, cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise, cause you're faithful. Praise, cause you're true. Praise, cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Sing praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it in? I won't be quiet. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Sing praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Last time. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Father, with every breath that we breathe and every song that we sing, we will give praise, honor, and glory to you. God, we have gathered in your name. What an opportunity on this day to celebrate your love and your grace. Oh, Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, you are already in this place. God, we've opened the doors. We want to raise the roof. We want to give you praise. Father, I cannot be quiet. My spirit wants to sing out. My soul wants to rejoice, for you are God. And Father, we are thankful for this opportunity. Bless us now as we have joined in worship. Father, hear the song of praise. Inhabit the praise of your people, and we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, be in prayer. I know there's a lot of things going on. John, you can go ahead and put up the first one. Community Under the Tent. Saturday night, they had a concert over at Hope Crossing. Today, they're celebrating. Evanswood and Hope Crossing are joining forces. I kept us open, so we're worshiping here. They're going to be doing some things there under the tent. But tomorrow morning, Memorial Day, there's a parade that goes right past Hope Crossing. So I've mentioned it before, if you're interested, go early. You'll have to go in the back way because Dodge Park might be closed down. But Hope Crossing is between 16 and 17 mile. It's on the west side of the street, and they're going to be there. I'll be there. Beth and I will be there. I'll be cooking hot dogs. There's potato chips. There's water. There's bounce house. There's all kinds of activities. If you're interested, go. We'll be celebrating there, and when the parade's done, I guess we'll kind of hang around and just have some fun. But beyond that, that's there tomorrow. So if you want to go, please join us there. Address is in the bulletin. Wednesday night, we will not have Bible study. We normally, on the weeks that we have holiday, we usually hold off on Bible study. But we'll begin back on June the 5th. I really appreciate your prayers and allowing me to kind of just back off Wednesday night. I kind of felt not too well Wednesday night. I actually went home and stayed home from work on Thursday, which I never do. My wife looked at me in the morning. She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going back to bed. I don't feel well." So I went back to bed on Thursday and stayed there all day. I don't think I got up until, what, about 5 o'clock? So my voice is still a little raspy, but hey, I'm ready. But Wednesday night, we'll carry on. We'll continue on with chapter 4. If you're interested, did anybody tell you what the food is in 2 weeks? Steaks. It's correct. We're having steaks. So if you want Wednesday night, that week, we're going to have steak. And there's going to be all kinds of stuff along with it. So join us if you can. VBS. We picked up the newsprint. We got the wooden blocks. Clean rags, poster board, and masking tape. They need like 5 or 6 rolls of masking tape. 4 rolls. 1 inch, inch and a half, 2 inch. Oh, okay. So if you're interested, rolls of masking tape. We got the baskets. We got the print. We got most everything. All we need is masking tape, poster board. Clean. You say old rags. Somebody's going to grab their old oily rags out of the garage. If you're interested, I mean, places like Costco's and Sam's Club, they sell the big bundles of white clean rags. They're not that expensive. You can buy a bag of those. Those will work. They make great. So those are what we need for VBS. BethanyChurchOfGod.org. I did post the bulletin. I posted the June calendar. There's all kinds of that stuff back there. There is the food pantry still going on. There's all kinds of activities to fill, and God is really blessing us. Website has, I don't want to talk about it, but it's been amazing. Please check it out. Give us a thumbs up if you like it. During our time of prayer this morning, moving into that, we want to keep Norgine. Is that the... Georgine? Georgine. Dave, is that your sister-in-law? Okay, we want to keep her in prayer. She's got some cancer that the treatment's not working. A friend of mine I mentioned earlier, Rob. Rob got the news this past week that he has stage 4 liver cancer, and there's no treatment for Rob, so Rob needs our prayers. They're going to try to hold his at bay, but Georgina's just having trouble. Treatment's not working, right? But we want to keep them in prayer. There's a multitude of needs. Deborah was here this morning with us early. She has some issues. They stole her ID, so Deborah's needs our prayers. So just keep her in prayer. A lot that she's going through. Keep Charlotte in our prayers. Keep Louie and Suzanne in our prayers. Today is Gary's birthday. Happy birthday, Gary. Doesn't usually happen on a Sunday we're here, but, you know, whenever I do, it's Gary's birthday, and I ask him if he was the same age as me, and he said, no. So, he can tell you that, but it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Gary, and we're glad you're celebrating with us. Other than that, we're going to continue to worship the Lord, stand and sit how you feel comfortable. These next two, one of them I know, the other one I'm learning as we go along. I've sung them before, but please just worship the Lord as Connor leads us. And we're grateful that Heritage Church has let him out of the hooks for a couple of weeks to be with us. We just enjoy the worship, brother. Thank you for celebrating with us. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fight, time after time. Born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary was more than enough.
See, I trust.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never world is at risk. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. Praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We can trust you.
I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
See, I trust.
I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. Just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are making, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise, praise, praise. Out of our wrongs, you write our story. And out of the cross comes rivers of grace. And out of the grave burst a revival no tomb can contain. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, God, come on, sing praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. You come around dry bones, come to life, deserts to paradise, you start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, long stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupting to praise. When you come around dry bones, come to life, deserts the paradise, storms just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, long stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupting to praise. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, still got a reason to praise, praise. Praise, praise, praise. Still got a reason to praise.
Sing one more time.
You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise.
You may be seated. Let's join together in prayer. God, we truly thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, that no matter what comes our way, no matter what we face, Father, and no matter what path is in front of us, we've got a reason to praise. Father, we ask that Your blessings would rest with us now. Father, that we would, as we praise the Lord, would glorify Your name, give You the praise, honor, and glory. Father, to lift up and to magnify Your name. Father, even in the midst of when treatment is done, Father, when there's no cure and no answer, You have an answer, God. And I pray that no matter what, Father, You will lead and guide. For Georgine, God, I pray that You will bless, Father. You'll surround, You'll lift up, You'll give answers where there are no answers. For Rob, Father, when he faces the obstacles and his spirit is moved, Father, that You will find the answers. God, You are a God of healing, a God of restoration. For Georgine and Rob right now, God, You've made a way when there seems to be no way, when there's no rivers, no dry lands, Father, that You provided rivers in the wasteland, streams in the desert. You told Isaiah that there is a way when all things seem to be no way. Father, have Your way. And Father, this morning we ask that Your blessings would rest. Father, for the church, as we gather together, as we celebrate Memorial Day, God, remind us. Remind us, Father, that You are still on the throne. That You are seated next to Your Father. That You are making intercession for us. That, Father, together through the power of prayer, You will touch the needs of the body. I pray for Deborah this morning. God, when it seems, all seems to be going well, God, in the midst of that, someone wants to do some evil things, not only with her, Father, but with her accounts. And Father, just bless her. Give her wisdom. Give her grace. And touch her, Father, in this journey to be near to her and bless her, Father. Continue to be with Charlotte as she's shut in and at home, Father. Surround her, God, as she blesses others through the cards and the notes that she's sending out. So thankful to receive that in the mail and the words of encouragement, God. Father, continue to bless her. Pour Your Spirit upon her. Continue to lift up Suzanne and Louie, God, that You will bless Suzanne with the strength as she continues to recoup. Father, surround them now. Be with them now. Father, be with the church and be with the needs of this body and of the church. God, You know them. Father, in talking to Pastor Salim this morning, we're lifting each other up. God, what a blessing that not only from here all the way to Kangoma, Kenya. Father, we can celebrate the goodness of God. Pour into my brother this morning, Father. Pour into the church in Bungoma, Kenya. Pour into the churches all around this area that You will pour forth Your Spirit. Father, thank You for Connor being with us this morning. Thank You to step away from Heritage Church and bless us, Father, not only with song, but with piano and the blessings of praise. Thank You, God, that we can lift up in the midst of all things, we can praise the Lord. Father, now we continue to ask Your blessings and Your richness upon us. As we celebrate, God, Your love and Your grace, Father, pour out Your Spirit on the churches around this area. Father, through this great nation of ours, pour out Your Spirit. We need God. What a true symbolism. What a true statement, Father. Now, as we need God, let us go into the highways and byways and be God to the people around us. Father, let Your word go forth now in the message. In a few moments, as we break open the word of God, let it pour into our spirits, our souls, and our minds. We'll thank You and praise You, God. We will bless the Lord at all times, for His grace is upon us and His mercy is in us. Father, even in moments when we don't know how to pray, God, You've taught us how to pray. And You've said to remind us of that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people can truly say, amen, amen, amen. We got some music going on somewhere? Yeah? Is it? It's kind of ringing in here. I can hear it. I'm thinking, wow, I don't have any music going. It's coming through our speakers. Isn't it? Huh? Well, I just hear it, so maybe I'm hearing things. Huh? Huh. Interesting. Well, I'll try not to let that distract me. I can hear it all the way up here. All right. Beth, you do me a favor. Will you close off that one door? And see if that kind of breaks the cycle a little bit. It's not outside? Until we figure that out, because I can hear it coming through. Everything else is off. Okay, well, we're going to go. And if it bothers you, maybe I'll speak a little bit louder. As we worship this morning, I've been looking at this passage today. And it's taken from Isaiah chapter 6. I often think about those lives who have given their lives, others who have made it possible to enjoy the moments. I come from a military family. My brother spent 18 years in the 82nd Airborne Infantry Division. 18 months after retirement, my brother passed away with multiple myeloma cancer. So it's been a number of years, almost 25 years since he's gone. But I still remember, and I still remember those. We pause at work to think about the lives who have been given, the call of duty, those who have gone on before. This message is about the prophetic call of God on our lives. The same call is extended to every one of us. And you guys might not hear it, but I'm just going to go on. Just ignore it, and we'll... I don't know where it's coming from, but we'll go on. Some time ago, as a young child, I know that was a number of years ago. When I was a young child, yeah, it was a number of years ago. So, as a young child, I didn't live in the days of cell phones. What a surprise, right? I remember my first cell phone when I got it. That thing was like a huge bag. I had to put the antenna up on top of the car. Had the big phone with the cords that... Never mind. But in the early days as a child, I lived in Madison Heights for a period of time, a couple of years. And my friend across the street lived a couple of houses down. You know how we used to get to each other? We didn't call on the regular house phone because we all had house phones. Where it was, when we wanted to talk to each other, now you'll have to bear with me, because when we went to go visit each other, we would... Yeah, I'm too old, but that's how we did it. And you'd have to be loud enough, because if Jeff was in the house, or your friends were in the house, you'd have to be echoed over the TV, echoed over dinner, or whatever was going in the house. And if he was a couple of rooms back, did you figure it out? Okay, there you go. But those were the days when you wanted to talk to somebody as a young kid. Those were the days when Mom said, when the street lights come on, you're home, right? But it was in those days that we would call, and if you were loud enough and your friend heard you, he would come out. Jeff and I bummed around together for quite a while, and then later on, my friend in high school, we used to get in a lot of trouble, but yeah, Dennis. Dennis and I were the two kids that got his father's shed burned down. But those were my glory days. But I remember that instead of having a cell phone, we would use voice over IP. We had that voice over everything else, or we could say it was a voice call. The voice call had to be louder than the things around us over TV, dinner, and all of that. Today now we have all the advantages, right? We have text, tweets, email, voice call, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, Messenger, LinkedIn, Google Groups, Facebook, WhatsApp. Am I missing any of them? I'm sure there's a few I'm missing. Ivana could probably tell me there's a couple of them. Am I missing any, Ivana? All right. But see, now we have this whole idea that we get a tweet, a text, an email message, and if you want to keep it private, then you go to some other of these avenues that you don't want mom and dad to know about. But here in the book of Isaiah, we are given this call, and I want to recognize a call to each other. It might have been a call to one, but it is actually a call to each other. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, if you will. Stand with me as we read the word. I didn't write down the page number, so you're going to have to search for it yourself. Under the chairs, there's large print Bibles, or it's going to be up on the screen. Or if you want to turn there, it'll be Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to look at 8 verses. Pardon me? 1068. Okay, Roxanne's got it for me. Page 1068. All right, we're going to read together. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," he cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And he said, "Here am I. Send me." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now I want to just inscribe for you a couple of things. Not only did Isaiah see a vision of the Lord in the year of King Uzziah that he had died, Isaiah saw a beautiful vision of God. He saw not only the cherubims and the seraphims, he saw them covering, and he heard the voice of God, "Holy, holy, holy." Not only do we notice that, but we notice one of the angelic beings take a live piece of a coal. The coal was actually so hot that they used tongs to pick it up. Isaiah sees a vision of God. They use this and touch Isaiah's lips, and he is changed forever. Somehow, this might have been called the fifth gospel. There's much for us to proclaim about this message. But one thing to consider is Isaiah received a call from God. This call is echoed out throughout all of the Old Testament. We see a call not only to Moses, we see a call to David, we see a call to Daniel, we see a call to Isaiah, we see a different call to Jeremiah, we see a different call to Ezekiel. The message is essentially this, that God is calling and calling and calling. The question becomes, that call is to one another. What we notice in the beginning, this call is from God. Many interpreters conclude that Isaiah represents his major call. Now, there's something to consider here. Notice that this call happens in chapter 6. There's a lot of front information that begins with a conversation about where the people of God are at. And all through chapter 1 through chapter 5, we get the initial information of what's happening in the life of the people of God. Now, you might say, well, why do we need that front information? And why is all of that there to prepare us and then Isaiah receives a call? Most importantly is the fact that God is setting the stage for what's going on in the life of people and the importance of the call of Isaiah. Also notice that we also hear the words that I saw the Lord. Now, something that must be considered in this passage is that, number one, is no one can see God and live. So who did Isaiah see? Well, here's the prophetic voice for you. If Isaiah did not see God himself, who did Isaiah see? Well, Scripture tells us that Christ, here's the theological application, and I'll leave you this. Tradition has it that if Isaiah could not see God and live, then who did he see? Scripture tells us that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18, that Jesus was the Son of the invisible and the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body of the church, which is the beginning and firstborn of all supremacy. So what we notice is, for those who like to believe that Jesus is not present in the Old Testament, here is the perfect example. When Isaiah says, I saw the Lord, he didn't see God Almighty. He saw the presence of his only Son. John reiterates that in John chapter 14. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. There's no intent to see God because we see it through Jesus Christ himself. Later in John 10:10, he repeats this image. I and the Father are one. So we can conclude from this very beginning statement that Jesus was present and Isaiah saw the power of not only God coming down through the Holy Temple, but God represented himself through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit was present. So you have this wonderful nature of God that Isaiah is getting the power of the presence of God in the commissioning. Isaiah is aware of that, and everything that we have flows from that very presence. And Colossians and Paul's writing confirms the fact that all of that was there in the very beginning. Even though he's encountering a holy God, Isaiah is humbled before him, and the direct representation and the sacrifice. Notice that the fire of the altar conveyed the seraph's cleansing. A call to you and I begins with God and begins with the anointing of God. As it turns out, his words are sanctioned as the prophet moves and is more powerful than any army. Isaiah pushes through and pushes on. In Isaiah chapter 68, he says, here am I, send me. The acceptance of the calling of God. What it tells me and it tells us is that everything begins with God. Everything begins from the foundation of the earth, through the whole prophets, through the anointing of the New Testament, all the way through the call, that it all begins with God. Well, I can tell you about my call, and I can tell you I didn't want to receive the call. I didn't want to hear from God. I had other things in my life I wanted to do than preach the Word. And God said, no. There's other things I got for you to do besides what you want to do. And at a young age of 14, God said, no, son, let me tell you something. This is what you're going to do. And this is how you're going to do it. I said, no, God, I don't want to do that. Are you with me, church? There are times in our lives we say, no, God, I don't want to do that. Go call someone else. Today's not a good day, God. How about, I hear you, God, and I know that I love you, and I know I've given my life to you, and God said, well, then this is what you're going to do. And I said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. Maybe I was like Jonah. I didn't want to go to Nineveh. I knew what God was going to do. Jonah didn't want to go, and God said, yeah, you're going to go. Have you ever had that moments in your life where God is saying, this is what I need you to do? And you're going, no, God, I'm not going to do it. Connor was talking about this morning about how he had been doing something. I don't know if you mind me, just I'm not going to tell the whole story, but sometimes God moves us, right? God moves us in directions, and we got to answer that call. The problem is, everybody else around us goes, no, no, no. There's got to be a problem. Something must have happened. I don't understand. Why did you just step aside? Well, God's got something else for me to do in my life. But we must recognize that God is calling. Every day, He's calling. Every day, God is moving. And if God isn't moving in your life today, just hold on a second. Listen. Stop for a moment. Hear the Word of God. Because God is moving. And God is on the move. And He's moving every moment of our life and every day of our life. We can sense the ebbing and flowing of God in our life. We must be open. Our spirits must be willing. We must recognize that God is going to use every means possible to call in our life. But this call is a call to others can change their life. You know, we didn't read all of this. We didn't go through the whole call. But if you notice in the following passages, when he got done, Isaiah said, okay, God, who's going to go? And he said, all right, I will go. God begins to lay out for Isaiah. And he begins to say, go and tell the people. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be seeing and never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. In other words, Isaiah is saying, listen, there's going to be some in your path who are not going to understand the call. They're not going to understand the message that you are delivering. He's saying that if God, things around them close their eyes, they might actually turn. And Isaiah says, well, how long is this going to take, God? How long is this message? And when I answered the call, I said, God, well, okay, how long am I going to be doing this? Well, it's coming pretty close to 40-some years. And I'm thinking, okay, God, am I not ready to do something else? And he goes, nope. Nope. I mean, I remember July 11th, 1983, when I got my license, thinking, okay, this is a great step. 1983, folks. It's 2024, 41 years. Thinking, okay, God, isn't there something else you want me to do? Do you know how many times I've tried to do something else? And God goes, nope, keep doing it. And God, really? Isaiah says, how long am I going to do this, God? Until the work is done, basically what he told Isaiah. You see, our call, and Isaiah responds in a typical element, our call is to change lives. We are called as a people of God. Well, how do you do that, God? Go. Simply go. Deliver the word. God said sometimes you have to preach the word. Other times you have to be the word. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean I got to be the word? We're studying this whole book on the prodigal Christianity. And we're trying to understand. We're post-Christendom, folks. We're past what used to be the whole Christendom idea, this idea of evangelism and knocking on doors and delivering tracts and sharing the Word of God. Now we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, how do you do that in a world that doesn't want to hear it? Just be Jesus. Be there for people. Talk to people. Celebrate with them. And Jonathan's favorite word, love them. But God, how do I love someone who doesn't even like me? Just love them. Smile through it. Grit your teeth. And love them. Well, how do you love someone who doesn't believe there's a God? Who doesn't understand the power of... Just be there. We don't always have to have the words. This emphasis can change the life of others. And I've shared stories with you about those who just want to know there's someone who cares. We live in a time where the holy occurrence of this message that Isaiah delivers is of people who are bound in judgment. They're there for 70 years. Isaiah's got to deliver this message that you have to live in this exile for 70 years. Well, how long, God? 70 years. Well, how do I bring hope to a people that are going to die in exile? Isaiah said, remind them of the hope of God. You see, Isaiah was forgiven. The book of Isaiah proclaims that God will forgive others as well. We have to be God. And the trouble is, folks, we're having trouble with that in our world today. We're having trouble with people in school and at work who don't want to hear about God. We're Christians, but I don't go to church. We're Christians, and I don't know about your God, but I'm just going to serve my gods because all of them lead to one God. Really? And you know the problem is we want to get in debates. We want to discuss and we want to emphasize when the world only wants to know that people care and that someone loves them. This call today is about a call that can change their life. I can't tell you over the years how many lives might have been changed by the work that I'm doing. I know of specific emphases. I don't know of them all. Neither will you. All you've been called is to be the hands and feet of God. You don't always have to deliver the words. St. Francis of Assisi said what? Preach the gospel at all times and occasionally use words. The problem is we are in an environment where we just believe, I got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. They need to know about God. Yes, they do. But be God first. You and I have received a unique call. It can change the life of others. The problem is, will you answer and make the call? This story taps Isaiah on the shoulder. Given the complicated composition of the book of Isaiah, there's this period of time. His father was Amos. We don't know much about him. As far as we know, Amos could have been a pipe fitter, a postal carrier, a pediatrician. We don't know much about Amos. All we know is that that is the father of Isaiah. There's sometimes beauty in not knowing. However, it's awe-striking, the vision and the calling of God. We look at this calling of Isaiah and we see the foundation and this huge call of what God did for Isaiah. Oftentimes, the call is simply sometimes the call's not even that loud. Sometimes it's a nudge from God saying, hey, go. Sometimes it's a gentle voice that says, will you do this? Sometimes it's not even that. God puts us in a place, puts us in a time, puts us around people and says, now, will you be my voice? Jeremiah and Jonah ran from the call. I can tell you about Isaiah's fingerprint. Most realities, there's a terrifying path, which is normal and okay. Being scared is not necessarily a prerequisite, but it happens. It's good for all of us to realize that we have a call of God on our life. John 15:16. I reminded myself multiple times over the years and multiple times over the time to realize that the scripture tells us, you did not choose me. But God said, I chose you. And I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And whatever you do in my name, do it all for the glory of God. And I think, okay, God, I've heard this 1,000 times over the 41 years. I've heard that you chose me. You know, God chooses all of us. And Isaiah is an example that we have a call on this Memorial Day, a call to others to make the call, to answer the call. What will you do? Everyone is invited to look for the intersection of our passions and our talents in a world that needs us. God calls, God equips. God equips, and God calls. Did you hear me? There's both ways to this. He will call you, and He'll equip you. He doesn't necessarily call those who are equipped. He doesn't say, hey, Beth, you've got all of these talents in this way you do your PowerPoints and all of these other things. I'm going to call you now because of that. No. I can remember there was a time she wasn't really into the internet and all of those things. She's learned it over time. And God says, okay, I'm going to call you. Now I'm going to equip you. Doesn't always happen. God gives you the talents necessary to do the work. But it's a question of, will you make the call? Will you say, okay, God, I finally hear it. And then I have to ask you this last question. If you're going to answer it, Isaiah said, okay, God, I'm going to go. Isaiah said, yes. One hears frequently the assertion that the church can change the world. A mem on social, the late Archbishop Tutu, talking about how small acts of goodness and kindness will change the world. God does not call the prophet to change the world. He calls them to a specific people. You see, I can't reach everybody that you can reach. I don't know all of the people you know. I can't intercede for all the people that you know. God has called you to a specific place, a specific time. God calls you from all walks of life and all types of situations. God calls you in spite of what the world wants to think. This understanding of mystery and ministry and the stirring. Nevertheless, the passage calls the church to integrity, to endurance, to trust God in spite of unfavorable responses. The passage calls the church to faithfulness, not a measure of success. Trust in a powerful God. It's a call to each other. The truth of the matter is, will you go? Will you say yes? Isaiah said, okay, what will you do? The truth of the matter is, it's tough for us. It's tough in a situation. And all the things that we've learned, and all the things around us, what we used to do, isn't working today. Let's be honest. What we used to do in post-Christendom before that time used to be great success. It used to be on Easter Sunday morning, you can always count our CEOs. Christmas, Easter, and others. You can always count them. You can always count them. They got their new suits and their new clothes. Christmas and Easter, you'd always have an influx of people. That doesn't happen anymore. It's not about inviting people to church. It's inviting them to understand who Jesus is and the power of God's Word. And how do we do that? Through our lives. Through the advent of who we are. Through being a friend to people who need a friend. We don't always understand the communities. We don't always understand the ethnicities. We don't understand the power of the different religions that are in the world. We simply need to be God. And we simply need to answer the call and go. This call is one in which can change the life of others. It's really a question of, will you answer the call? I know in my brother's life, he made the awesome call to accept to go work in the government. 29 years. To go wherever they sent him. He said yes no matter what. He was property of the United States government for that many years. When he finally decided to retire, he was on his own. You see, throughout our life, we are called. God gives us a call. It may not be in military, it may not be in ministry, but we have a call. We have a call, whether that's to be a father, a husband, a parent, a teacher, a worker. We are all called. We're called in different walks and different avenues. We're called to deliver the Word of God. You see, Jesus lives in us. We are the living, breathing feet and hands of Jesus. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, you go, I must see Jesus. And the call is to all of us. Will you accept the call? You may not be out in the highways and byways. You may not be doing the things that I'm doing. But all of us, every day, we talk to people. We meet people. We see people. We interact with people. We have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Will you accept the call? Father, this commissioning of Isaiah was a huge success, Father, for the people of God. Isaiah went through some tough times, delivered some strong words. But God, you called him. You called him from his walk of life, no matter what he was doing. You've called us, God. You've equipped us. You've commissioned us. You've anointed us. You've changed us. Father, the work is outside these four walls. Father, I pray that through the power of your word, that you will send us to the people that need to see Jesus. Father, we may not always have the right words, the right stance, or the right biblical verse, but we can be your hands and feet to a world that needs to see you. We may not meet every single person that needs to hear it, but God, to the people that you send us to and the people that are around us, remind us that we can show Jesus in every aspect of our life. Now walk with us in this final moment. Engage us, Father, infill us, and then send us. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen.
I need you, soften my heart, break me apart. I need you to open my eyes, to see that you're shaping my heart. And all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I may be weak, but your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Sing, I may be weak.
Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My accomplish may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will.
Father, may you bless us today. May you lead and guide us. May your spirit be strong in us when we are weak. Let us stand strong in you. Father, let us go in the courage of your word. Lead and guide us now in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Go in his faith.
Take a diamond, raise him up to life again. What can heal the wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Is the whole cross.